Welcome back to the Ryer on YouTube channel, where it is time once again for Second Helping, the show of choice for fans and followers of the number one league in all of collegiate athletics, the Southeastern Conference. Travis Ryer alongside my great friend and co-host, Mr. Brent Beard. Brent, of course, longtime college football analyst, most recently for First Coast News down in Jacksonville, Florida, also a voter for the most prestigious honor in collegiate athletics, the Heisman Trophy. And Brent, it's been a few weeks since we last reconvened here on the channel. We have an SEC national men's basketball champion in the Florida Gators. And of course, we have Chino. Chino is right there with us as well.
Our show mascot making an appearance. Good to be back with you, my friend. We have had over the last few weeks one granddaughter, grandson born, and then a granddaughter celebrating a birthday. So we're happy about that. But yes, the spring games, we still have a few left. Arkansas has their spring game coming up Saturday. And we've also got Mississippi State. And we've got the only televised game that I know of so far in the SEC, which will be Saturday at Texas A&M at 3 p.m. on the SEC Network. So hopefully, Travis, we will get this transfer portal, which is now open, moved so that coaches will be not so reluctant to have games on TV or radio for the spring.
Yeah, and I guess we have to start with the Nico Iamaalava situation, the fiasco, the train wreck up there in East Tennessee, as Nico has decided, or really decided for him, that he would be moving on from the University of Tennessee. I'd like to say a shocking situation, but I guess since you went into that whole relationship, if you're Tennessee, And Tennessee wasn't, the Vols weren't the only ones, okay?
Right.
They weren't bidding against themselves for Nico a couple of years ago. This is a guy that was heavily coveted by pretty much every program in the country. So this isn't to condemn Tennessee for going down that rabbit hole with Nico. And more so, you almost feel bad for Nico because you hear from people that say, look, this isn't a bad guy. You know, this isn't a bad kid. This is just a poorly advised, really directed young person that now is catching the brunt of this situation after Josh Heupel did what he, to me, I know Josh Heupel's being handed all these bouquets. And yes, I think he did take a stand. But when your starting quarterback starts to miss practices in meetings, I don't know what other decision you have to make.
No.
I don't know what Josh Heupel was left to do other than at that point cut ties. Because, you know, even if you got that situation worked out and it wasn't going to get worked out at the reported $4 million a year moving forward, you risk the dynamic of your team, of maintaining your team in terms of any type of legitimacy as far as your position as the head coach is concerned. And so, you know, Heupel did what he had to do, in my opinion, more so than what, you know, took a lot of courage, or I don't know what else he could have done with everything that was involved.
No, his back was against the wall. And look, there's plenty of blame certainly to go around. I mean, Tennessee got this thing started, and they had the biggest payout for him. So they're certainly not innocent in the midst of this.
And also, this wasn't an inherited situation that Josh Heupel took on. This was part of what Josh Heupel was a part of going into.
Absolutely.
It'd be one thing if Heupel just inherited and said, you know what, to heck with this. We're Tennessee, and we're going to establish a standard of, you know, no one's bigger than the program. He was a part of this thing to bring Nico to Tennessee.
Yeah. Well, look, as big of a nightmare as this has been, if they cave to Nico and he gets $4 million, that would have been just the beginning and a much bigger nightmare among that team, because that would have been a line out the door of the athletic center of guys wanting to redo their deal. But again, I mean, Trav, to me, the bottom line with this thing is you have got a guy who really look, I mean, does he have potential? Of course he does. But the reality is he had a very average year last year.
Yeah.
And it doesn't take long to look
at. Isn't a guy that was in New York City, you know, is even a finalist.
No. And listen, the thing that really disturbs me the most about this, frankly, is once finding out that, and again, they played poorly and Ohio State gets credit for that 42-17 win. But when you're trying to use that as leverage to get what you want, I mean, Trav, how in the world can that team be mentally prepared?
Yeah, this wasn't an all-conference guy, let alone an All-American.
Yeah, absolutely.
This wasn't a Heisman finalist.
Right.
And this wasn't a football team that won anything last year.
No.
They made the playoff, a 12-team playoff. It would be one thing if we were still in the four-team era and Tennessee had made that. They made it as what, a double-digit type of seed in a 12-team playoff. So I don't know really what Nico's people thought he had in terms of leverage. I guess more than anything, they just looked at the depth chart. Look, we can leave you in a lurch here based on what you have in terms of just even experience at quarterback if we don't get what we want. But, you know, there was the entire football program at risk.
Yes.
If Heupel doesn't make that move. And so, you know, we'll see what happens. What I don't understand about this situation is, well, I guess I understand it because you've got some folks that don't really have any understanding of how all this works.
Yes.
That are pushing the buttons.
Right.
This isn't a renowned agency, I don't guess, like a CAA or one of the, you know, agencies that you hear involved with NFL players, legitimate people in those roles. And so it sounds like, Brent, they're finding out now. On the open market, that forget about $4 million. You may be looking at half to less than half
of
what you would have gotten if you had stayed at Tennessee.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, and look, I think we can say last year's Tennessee success was based on Dylan Sampson in the front seven on that defensive line.
Yeah.
As much as anything else. Yeah. I don't think there's a Jimmy Sexton advising him right now, Trav. Could we be, would that be safe to say? And then we come out here with this, the initial leaders, UCLA, North Carolina, Tulane, that they are out of the mix. Look, this is a...
Is UCLA out? Because at last check, there was apparently dialogue there.
Between
Team Nico and UCLA. And UCLA doesn't have that kind of people hear UCLA and they think LA, they think money. That's not the program in Los Angeles that has anything close to throwing around that kind of cash.
That program
is on the other side of town.
Yes. Yes.
Lincoln Riley's not throwing $4 million at Nico. He's not throwing a couple. Lincoln Riley would not throw $2 million at Juju Lewis.
In the last recruiting cycle, which is
why Juju, in large part, is at Colorado. Not because he got $2 million from Colorado, but he dang sure wasn't getting it from Lincoln Riley and USC. So, you know, it kind of is starting to feel like it's going to be the best possible situation Nico can land at, and the money really isn't going to be that much of an issue at all.
Yeah. Well, look, you and I talked about, Trav, at some point, and this is months ago, is what's going to happen when someone wants to re-up their deal and they're very average in their performance.
Well, and that's, you don't have a collective bargaining agreement.
No,
you don't have anything that tethers really the player to the school now. There's no real penalties, I guess. I guess there are. There could be in some of the language in this stuff. But really, it's day-to-day in a lot of these situations.
Well, and listen, Nico is at a crossroads in his life. And the crossroads right now is going to tell you that, son, you've got to start making better decisions away from the decisions made by your quote unquote team, meaning at some point he's got to get better representation. He's got to get someone, as you mentioned, who actually is plugged into the fabric of this stuff every day, right, Trav?
My point has been that I am sure that Nico and his family or whatever the dynamic is could have gone to one of the sort of super agencies that handle NFL quarterbacks,
right?
Starting NFL quarterbacks, and say, look, even if you don't do NIL deals, could you kind of advise us or point us towards someone or an approach to this that would be the right way to go about this? Because in addition to how he's damaged his earnings potential at the college level, I think he's done it with the NFL too.
Sure.
First and foremost, because he really hadn't put tape, bottom line's tape with the NFL. You can do crazy stuff like this if you have the tape to kind of elevate you from it. He doesn't have that.
No.
He doesn't have that yet. And now on top of it, it's, you're holding out in college. You know, you don't like your deal in the NFL. You're going to hold out here. Now it's structured in a way in the NFL where you don't really even think about it as much.
No.
Because it is what it is with the CBA and those type of things. But right now in college athletics, you can kind of game to game it if you want to.
Sure. And again, the stats of 201 yards passing per game. And Trav, you remember this well, like I do. I mean, there were plenty of times where Nico was, he was hot one half and cold as ice the next.
The way I remember Tennessee from this most recent season was really slow first halves on the offensive side. Really as an extension of Nico. Really slow. The Alabama game comes to mind. Defense kept a couple of takeaways, and the defense for Tennessee is what I remember keeping them in games. And then there would be some second halves where, like Alabama, Nico picked it up, and Dylan Sampson got going, as you talked about. This has not been a Nico carried program.
No.
Or wasn't. And really his season as the starter for the Vols. So, what do you think, Brent, in terms of the signal this sends? This may have done a favor for a lot of program out there.
Yes.
What has happened at Tennessee in terms of the cautionary tale?
Yes.
For maybe guys that are thinking or have thought along the lines of what Nico's representation was thinking with this deal.
Well, I think it goes on with several things. First of all, who is representing you? And number two is, look, production means something. This is not like the NFL where you're going to get a contract and you either get hurt or maybe you're subpar and that contract carries you a year or two.
Nico had a better contract than Brock Purdy.
Yeah.
The starting quarterback for the San Francisco 49ers and still went for more with less production. He still went for more than he was getting, which was a better deal than Brock Purdy's rookie deal when he was the last pick in an NFL draft. still went for more.
Oh, yeah.
Short-sighted, man.
Well, and look, one thing, and we'll mention this briefly, but this is incredibly important, is what in the world do they do next? And you've got Jake Merklinger.
Tennessee at quarterback.
Tennessee quarterback, George McIntyre at that point. And now they've got Faison Brandon, who is like the number one overall player in the 2026 cycle at this point too. So, Trav,
that's exactly what Nico's representation was thinking.
Yeah, sure.
What are you going to do now, Tennessee?
Right.
If you don't give us the $4 million, well, you know, we're going to find out with Merklinger, perhaps. McIntyre was a guy that was another highly coveted high school quarterback in the most recent cycle. So, you know, it also goes back to just your quarterback numbers now and how you have to look at them. You know, you have to come out. Now, this is surprising, I think, to a lot of people that it's the starter that's actually leaving.
Yeah.
But it was kind of a three quarterback room. Mm-hmm. You lose one of these guys. The days of the four quarterback rooms is, to me, it's pretty much gone.
Yeah.
You're probably looking more and more at we can carry two guys into the fall that were with us probably in the spring. Right. Three's going to be stretching it. And so we're going to have to go find a third guy that we can kind of sell on, you know, you're a backup. And maybe it's a guy that has coaching, you know, in his in his sights, and it's an opportunity to come in and learn from that perspective. But yeah, it's an interesting question. I think for Tennessee right now, I guess it was Urban Meyer today that said Tennessee was screwed.
Yeah,
because of the situation. More so because. Not just financially what Tennessee had invested into Nico, but a season worth of starts. You don't have that moving forward.
Well, and the other thing is too, that makes this season so questionable is, Trev, we all know Dylan Sampson and a lot of that front seven for Tennessee. Yeah. I mean, they're off to hopefully the NFL for several of those guys.
It almost felt like a soft rebuild was coming for Tennessee. Yes. Not a full rebuild, but what they call in the NFL now a soft rebuild.
Right.
You were going to bring back the quarterback, but you were still going to have a lot of questions. And so this didn't feel like maybe a college football playoff season coming up for Tennessee. So maybe you get a jump on the Nico successor and
maybe so,
but not ideal, not ideal from a number of standpoints. You talked about spring game and look, Tennessee still drew what almost 40,000 for its spring game. What about some of those spring game figures though? Some of those numbers didn't look like what we're used to seeing around college football, though. Florida Gators had a big day down in Gainesville, maybe the biggest in college football from over the weekend.
Yeah, and of course, some of that really contributed to, and give them credit, one of our topics of conversation is the Florida basketball team being there after winning the national championship, and they deserved it. Now, Ohio State had 40, Georgia 35, Auburn 30, Oklahoma 16, Alabama very uncharacteristic.
Sparse.
Yeah, 10 to 15.
More towards 10.
Yeah,
15 would have been generous, I think.
I think you're right about that. So, I think, Trav, this will be fascinating to see. Do we keep the portal in April, which they really need to move it out or get rid of it, to kind of take another look at that? And I still think some of these spring games, and we saw more of this year, and we'll have more time to talk about this in the coming months, but the possibility of who was it, Colorado and Syracuse maybe playing a spring game, the NCAA nixed that, and Oklahoma and Oklahoma State talked about trying to do one. Mike Gundy, one of the better lines of the year so far. Well, why don't we go ahead and play? What can the NCAA do to us anyway? So I thought that was clever, but as Mike Gundy can do that. But certainly the future here of spring games very much up in there.
Yeah, definitely appears to be the case. And, you know, wanted to go around the league with you as we've pretty much put a wrap on spring football in the Southeastern Conference. And we'll work through some of this alphabetically. You mentioned Alabama, sparse spring practice. It wasn't a spring game in Tuscaloosa over the weekend, but there was also some news off the field as one of the all-time assistants, not only at Alabama in terms of Bill Brother Oliver, the iconic defensive coordinator for the University of Alabama from years ago, also a player at Alabama under legendary coach Paul Bear Bryant, passes away at the age of 85, Brent.
Yeah, and obviously coached and had association with both Auburn and Alabama in his career. Let me put this in terms that our viewers, I think, would find fascinating. They may not remember a whole lot about Bill Oliver, but Trav, I don't hesitate to say if Bill Oliver was in his prime and he was coaching today as a coordinator, Bill Oliver would get anywhere from $2 to $4 million as a defensive coordinator.
Yeah, I think so. I don't think there's any doubt about it. As well respected in terms of how nuanced he could get with his schemes. We saw it firsthand all the way back in that 93 Sugar Bowl win over Miami that gave Alabama the national championship for the 1992 season. Just totally, totally bamboozled Heisman Trophy winner Gino Toretta in that game. So coach for all time. And you said it, a guy who saw both sides of the rivalry with Alabama and Auburn. In fact, I believe he was the interim head coach for Auburn.
Yes.
In the, was it the
98
game.
Yeah.
Which
Terry Bowden resigned.
My younger brother played in that game. In Birmingham.
Oh yes.
And so that was that was different on a number of levels. But yeah, sad to see brother pass away. But boy, an indelible mark on Southeastern Conference football. I think the mutual respect from Bill Oliver and Steve Spurrier.
Yes.
Kind of told you all you needed to know.
Oh,
really
yeah.
About both those guys.
No question.
Because they had some very memorable matchups there.
Well, they did.
In the early to mid 90s, didn't they?
Oh, yeah. 92, obviously, in the first SEC championship game for one. So, but, and, you know, the amusing thing about it is brother was his nickname. And, Travi, he had a sister, and her nickname was Sister.
Well, yeah. Dad was Dad.
Yeah.
Mom was Mom.
Yeah, absolutely. You
know? I wonder if they're like Dog was just Dog.
You know? Yeah. Yeah. Good point. Oh, yeah. But you know, we wondered, and I remember we were doing radio together back then, and we thought out loud, what would have ever been, Trav, if Spurrier actually had hired Oliver? And, you know, there were talk about that for years. Now, I've been told that really at one point had some legs.
There were always rumblings about that unholy union, perhaps.
Yes. Yeah. Can you imagine, Trav, that Florida offense and who Oliver could have brought in?
Yeah,
during that time too. So
Steve went and got a guy by the name of Bob Stoops.
He did,
and that really is when you saw Florida get over the hump.
That's right,
and win a national championship with Steve Spurrier there in Gainesville. It sounds like Ty Simpson right now is the guy at quarterback for the Crimson Tide. Brent, Ryan Grubb, anyway, not mincing many words and saying that here early in the week.
Yeah. And some people were a little bit surprised about that. But you know, there's still some wonder, would Austin Mack go to quote unquote greener pastures for a chance to play? He obviously came from Washington, all 6'5 or 6'6 of him. But I mean, they've got a pretty good quarterback room, but but back to your point a few minutes ago, and this is just not Alabama at this point, but Trev, you know, are we looking at basically a two quarterback room with another guy who would be there that that may not play much, but to be able to fill the room.
Emergency, yeah.
And come in an emergency if they needed him.
Yeah, I we talked about it earlier with what Tennessee's looking at right now. Mm-hmm. I think three scholarship quarterbacks, if you got that going into week one, that's probably something you're going to be okay with moving forward. What about the Auburn Tigers? Sounds like Deuce Knight got a lot of action for Auburn over the weekend at Jordan-Hare Stadium. That being said, some encouraging news where maybe the run game is concerned, Brent. And we know that those second-year receivers are going to be expected to really step forward in 2025.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Now they are having a couple of guys go to the transfer portal. C.J. Johnson at safety is going to be in the portal. Braden Joyner also is going to be there too. Although the Joyner kid was actually in 10 games, started six, he will have 3 years of eligibility left. But you're right, Perry Thompson and those receivers really showed out. Trev, I still say that the biggest pickup for them were the two tackles that they got on the offensive line, which is incredibly important. One of the guys, as you know well, is Mason Murphy from Southern Cal.
Yep.
With that, too. Now, what we also should mention, Hugh Freeze, as most everybody knows, has prostate cancer.
Yeah.
And certainly hoping and praying that he does well. But he did make a statement about that just to basically say that it's a slow growth. And the doctors have told him he could have surgery now, or he could have surgery, but basically at the end of the year, and he still probably would be okay. So, man, no one wants to go through that. But he did give an update on that as Auburn had their spring game in front of about 20,000.
So as we shift gears to the Florida Gators, what's really going on with DJ Lagway?
Yeah.
And that shoulder at this point?
Yeah.
Is there reason for legitimate concern? Understanding it's mid-April, we still got a good ways to go until we get to fall camp in early August. Or is that drumbeat getting a little bit louder in terms of those concerns? Because there's so many expectations for, well, this football team under Billy Napier in 2025. But absolutely, a lot of that's tied to what we saw from DJ Lagway over the second half of last season.
No question. And Billy Napier, the head coach, tried to alleviate some of those fears, saying that he is okay and is going to be okay and will be 100% by the time they get into what he called OTAs in June. So now, when I've read a lot on this like you have, and you know, the other thing that is involved here is some lower body injury.
He had like the ankle against Georgia, right?
Yeah, well, and obviously the hamstring trap bothered him throughout the year. But man, oh man, the thing you said is correct. Trav, these receivers, Dallas Wilson, 10 catches for 195 yards. He came over from Oregon and was really impressive. Vernell Brown, obviously, who is from the Vernell Brown family that have done so well. Nashawn Montgomery has done extremely well during that time. And how about Jacoby Jackson ran for, almost a couple of hundred yards. So to your point, if Nico's healthy, there's some pretty good weapons around him.
How about Harrison Bailey? We're going to talk about former Tennessee quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Now with the Florida Gators.
Yeah,
he was with Tennessee. He was a really, really solid quarterback prospect coming out of Marietta, Georgia. Gosh, 5 years ago now or so. UNLV for Harrison Bailey.
Mm-hmm.
Louisville for Harrison Bailey. And now the Florida Gators. So interesting from a quarterback depth perspective. But you said it, too, about these young receivers, man. They're going to be a lot of fun to watch, I think, here coming up in the fall. So let's keep it moving, Brent, as we move around the league. The Georgia Bulldogs closed out spring practice last Saturday with the G-Day game. Quarterback, a big part of that, as you might expect. Gunnar Stockton, it sounds like, wire to wire as that guy. is the potential starter behind center for the Georgia Bulldogs. Offensive line has been a bit of a concern. We're going to have some new guys up front. Sounds like they saw some encouraging things from those folks. A lot of talk about newcomers at the wide receiver position, but your notebook here tells me that maybe some transfers from a year ago, like London Humphreys from Vanderbilt, are starting to show more of what Georgia hoped they would get even a year ago from those guys.
Yeah, I think they feel better about this wide receiver group. Noah Thomas coming over from A&M, and Travis and I have talked a lot about the Branch brothers and Zachariah at receiver. Kobe Young it would be another. So I don't think this group will be leading the nation in drop passes. Nate Frazier's number one guy. People may have missed this, but Branson Robinson, one of the Robinson running backs, is going into the portal now. Trav, the problem is the Robinsons just can't stay. They can't stay healthy, can they?
No, I mean, he is as physically as impressive as any running back you will ever see post Herschel and Bo Jackson.
Yeah, probably. That's a great point. Yes,
but the health is just—it's just been an issue, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah, no question about that. So, but look, again, they've got questions at safety that they're trying to fix. Zion Branch, Adrian Maddox, Jaden Harris, that, you know, just some guys from the portal who are hoping to be able to help them. They had a pretty good crowd. Gunnar Stockton still looks like the guy who they're going to have. And by the way, in that receiver group, Dylan Bell also mentioned in that too. And then Drew Bobo along with that. I saw someone with an interesting sense of humor on Twitter mention that Mike Bobo may have something to do with Nico leaving Tennessee. So the Trav, they never give up on criticizing Bobo, do they?
No, every chance, at every turn, they get after Mike pretty good in that fan base. Hey, let's talk about LSU, and it's difficult to really talk anything on the field with LSU without just dreading the news that we got in regards to Kyron Lacy, the former LSU wide receiver from over the weekend. Just a heartbreaking situation from every angle of that. You know, the incident that he was alleged to have played a large role in, that tragically cost an elderly gentleman his life. And then for this to kind of go the way it went, with, Kyron Lacy, leaving this world in the manner in which he did, just, brutal, horrific, tragic, heartbreaking, no other way to really put it, I guess.
Well, and I give his dad credit. He came out and said, we've got to do a better job from the mental health part of athletics in trying to deal with these issues. And that's so unfortunate, because he really had a bright future in front of him. And our prayers certainly go out to the family, and certainly to LSU as they try to deal with this. Now, they had their spring game too, and they've got this pretty good group of edge rushers. Trav, with Jack Pyburn, who came from Florida, Gabriel Relaford, Jim Ryan Butler, and Patrick Payton, who came from Florida State. So they are hoping that defense is going to be pretty good. They picked off and sacked Garrett Nussmeier at quarterback a few times. Wide receiver Xavion Thomas did a good job. So, look, you and I say this every year, Trav. I mean, as they like to say, on both levels, there are no shortage of dudes at LSU, but they can't quite put it together yet, have they?
Yeah, if I'm an LSU fan, I'm probably wondering if the front and the pressure has improved that much, or is this also part of losing your two starting offensive tackles?
Absolutely.
And the changes that you're undergoing with that offensive line. So I would probably find myself in the middle of that somewhere, but it sounds like LSU has upgraded. Conversely, you are going to wonder about that offensive line and the ability of Garrett Nussmeier to be able to stand in there and do his thing. Because there were times, especially late in the season a year ago, where even with Will Campbell and that offensive line from a year ago, he was under duress a good bit. And you saw the turnovers and you saw the interceptions that followed. So, we're going to have to see more from LSU in that regard, where the offensive side of the ball, is concerned. Let's talk about Oklahoma a little bit. And is the perception that with Mateer coming in from Washington State, offensive coordinator coming in from Washington State, is there a true sense of support of Brent Venables going into what is absolutely a pivotal year for him?
Well, I think it's wait and see. I think it's kind of where Billy Napier was at the beginning of last season, and what, unfortunately, Sam Pittman at Arkansas goes through just about every season. I don't know what they need to do with their wide receiver room, Trail, but they've had another injury. They've got a transfer, Javonte Gibson. Had this freak injury and ended up breaking his leg. So I don't know what, at some point, Gibson caught 70 passes for 1,200 yards and 9 touchdowns. He was with Arkansas Pine Bluff. So they were, but the good thing about it is, if there is a good thing, trainers and athletic people would tell you, if you break a bone, you can get healed from that a whole lot quicker than you can an ACL.
Yeah. Or an Achilles or,
yes,
something along those lines of it. Yeah. If the break isn't, especially complicated, perhaps. We've seen it even with high ankle sprains have been more timely in getting back from. Now they've got the tightrope procedure that to help speed that along, but it can be more problematic in some instances than a fracture or a break. So let's talk Vanderbilt before we get out of here, Brent. My guy, our guy,
yes,
Diego Pavia, not as much of a storyline, but maybe more about, who backs up Diego Pavia. And I think that's important because of the way Diego plays the game. And understanding he's like Roberto Duran, former welterweight champion in terms of toughness. Although we know that Roberto Duran tapped out against Sugar Ray Leonard at one point. Diego doesn't tap out, which is a great thing if you're a Vanderbilt fan, but it can also be problematic potentially. So it sounds like that backup role more under the magnifying glass than anything else.
And Trev, this is pure gold as far as SEC football names. Redshirt sophomore Blaze Berlewitz, right? Yeah,
that sounds like a name that should be the backup to Diego. Blaze.
I agree with that. Now, Drew Dickey is also involved with that too, but they do think, and they had a couple of redshirt freshmen, linebacker Jamison Curtis and star Tate Hamby, who had a good spring game. I think they're pretty confident that they, and certainly
Muschamp's, Will Muschamp's kid's going to be in that mix of quarterback too, I think, coming up here, right?
Yeah, good point. But Clark Lee and Diego Pavia are not shine letting you know that they're going to be a threat this year.
It's potential's there. Diego, anytime he's behind center, Vanderbilt has a chance. So Brent, anything else before we get out of here, as we're live on a Wednesday night on Ryer on YouTube?
I'll throw quick, by the way, South Carolina spring game is Friday night. So good for them. for having something a little bit different. And I did want to mention real quick, Kentucky, their spring is certainly coming to an end. And at quarterback, Trav, again, in his seventh year, Zach Calzada remains ahead of Cunter Bowley. That's another really good quarterback name in that situation, too. So, but look, this is a crucial year, and we will have plenty of time to get into it later. But look, I'm not saying he's going to be fired. He deserves to be able to work it out. But I think we both know Mark Stoops needs a better year in Lexington.
Yeah, I think we had more players fired in the SEC this offseason than we had head coaches. I think it's pretty quiet, right?
Yeah.
In terms of the coaching carousel.
Yeah, very quiet.
Which does tell you, though, that probably the next year isn't going to be as quiet.
No, absolutely not. And we know more who the quarterbacks are going to be. And Trav, a mutual friend for us, Reese Davis, has re-upped with College Game Day and ESPN.
Yes, he has.
And was pursued heavily, Trav, by Fox Sports for that Big Noon kickoff, by the way. So
good for Reese.
That's right. Absolutely. Yeah.
Go back to, remembering Reese when he first got in with ESPN. And I want to say that's even when ESPN2 was just coming on.
Yeah.
It was a NASCAR show, RPM Tonight.
Right? You took the words out of my mouth.
He hosted that.
Look, and Travis, you and I both know, there was no silver spoon for Reese Davis.
Reese Davis earned
his chops the hard way. And look, I remember RPM, and you remember too, Reese did a lot of the women's sports on ESPN. And Reese
really didn't do much college football for a while.
Right. In the beginning, he did.
Brent and I go so far back, we were doing radio together probably in the mid-90s. Reese would talk college football with us. I mean, it was one of the few outlets 30 years ago that he had to talk college football, but absolutely paid his dues. Chris Fowler the same way.
Yep.
I mean, you go back and you think about the show, I think it was Scholastic Sports America.
Yes.
It was a high school magazine type show that ESPN had on, I think, when I was coming out of high school. And Chris Fowler, that's kind of how he broke in with ESPN.
Oh, yeah. So certainly congratulations to Reese. And Trav, I'd be unfair to myself if I didn't mention right now, we're basically in mid-April, and we're about a month and a week away from the first preseason college football magazines. And as a guy a lifetime ago who had a magazine yourself, Trav, can you imagine what these guys are going through trying to put a magazine together right now with the portal going on?
Well, even with the portal, if you're one of the few magazines that's still out there, Phil Still.
Yeah.
Phil probably went to bed a week or so ago thinking, you know what? There's a lot of stuff that's going to change maybe in the next week or so.
No question.
I know Nico Maialava is going to be the starting quarterback. I can go ahead and start my Tennessee layout with Nico. Right. Yeah. And think about some of the covers, the regional covers that were probably already done.
Yes.
That had Nico on them in a Tennessee uniform.
Great point. Yes.
Some covers got urinated on.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah, sure did.
Between Lindy's Athlons.
Yes.
Nico. Mm. Who are you going to put on the cover for Tennessee now?
Great point. It really is.
Josh Heupel's about to be on a lot of covers.
He will be the fallback guy for that. No question about it.
Took a stand. after you knew what you were getting, though. And you took a stand. All right, Brent, as always, it's a lot of fun catching up right here on Second Helping. If you haven't subscribed to Ryer on YouTube, we hope you'll take the time right now. Hit that subscribe button, hit that notification bell. That way you're alerted to all of our content as it drops here on the channel. And we would always appreciate a thumbs up. A like helps us out tremendously as well. Brent, thanks again. We'll do it again real soon.
My pleasure, brother. Take care. We'll talk soon.
For Brent Beard, Travis Ryer, thanking you once again for joining us right here on the Ryer on YouTube channel. Until next time, so long, everybody.